I know what you're thinking. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Where did you go? Cotton-eyed Craig. I've been away. I've been busy. I haven't actually been away. I've been here. If you're watching the video version of this, thanks very much. A lot of effort's gone into it. You'll see there's a lovely new exposed brick wall behind me, like all good podcasts have. I've basically figured out you need that. To be a successful podcast, there needs to be bricks. Not sure what happens there to necessitate success, but something to do with the bricks. So that's there. I couldn't really do any podcasting while they were exposing said bricks. But now we're here. The bricks, the power of the bricks has started. The bricks, by the way, paid for, technically, by the Patreon. Patreon.com/thedownbeat. It's just £1. Just give me a pound, basically, if you like the stuff. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news. I've got 5 episodes of the podcast coming at you now that I can record the intros. The bad news bricks, is that I recorded all 5 before these bricks. So they will all be brickless for the next 5. And then episode 6 will have bricks. So probably be much more successful. Although the Architects episode was pretty successful, wasn't it? Thanks to anyone that watched it, listened to it, tuned in because it was live on Twitch. I've got an excellent episode coming up for you. But first, you knew it was coming. And I promised you I would only do it if you got something out of it as well. But first, a word from our sponsor for this episode of The Downbeat, Displate. Display is a poster company with a difference. They make metal posters, and I mean literally metal, not Satan and shouting and not showering for days on end. Literally made of metal. Displates mount on the wall with a magnet. No holes, no drilling, no nonsense. If you're renting, the included protective leaf means you're not going to mess your walls up. Just attach the leaf to the wall, add the magnet, and then mount your display. Because displates are magnetic, not only does it take a second to adjust, but you can swap them out depending on your mood. Are you having some sort of manic episode? You want bright colours? Are you depressed? With Display, there's an option to 3D print a frame to the side of the poster. It's not a real frame, but it is textured like a real frame. And at the sort of distance that you should be looking at a poster from, it definitely looks like a real frame. If you're looking at your posters really, really close up, you're probably up to something a bit weird. They've got official stores with bands like Gojira, Ghost, Judas Priest, Slipknot, as well as movies, games. We even made a Downbeat store. All of the coolest Downbeat merch designs. We got the Coffee Club design. We got tons on there. They got tons of other stuff. You can get 20% off any display using the code Downbeat. If you buy 3 or more, you get 30% off. I get a little bit of kickback from that. You can support the podcast, you can support whatever I do, and your rooms can look cool AF while doing it. My guest on the Downbeat podcast this week is Manuel Gagneau of Zeelandada. Zeelandada is a Swiss avant-garde black metal band combining elements of traditional black metal and African-American spirituals. You've never heard anything like it. Originally a one-man project like all of the best black metal, later becoming a band. We talked about the literal black magic in the lyrics. We talked about how he started the band on cesspool website 4chan. The new album Zeelandada, self-titled, is out now. We talked about that. The band have just been announced for next year's Bloodstock Open Air Festival, and you can catch them on tour in Europe. You've missed the UK ones because that's when I did it. But you can catch them on tour in Europe until the 15th of December. It's Zeelandada on the Downbeat podcast. Are you comfortable?
Yes, very.
Does it feel professional?
It feels very professional. Even like if I'm this close, it has this NPR vibe.
The nice. Thank you. That's what I'm going for. I'm just trying to obliterate any podcast competition.
Looks fucking dumb.
Your voice. Well, don't look at yourself.
Hey. Okay.
I mean, I can change it so you can just look at yourself if you want. You could do the whole thing like that. I'm going to butcher your second name. And I really don't want to butcher it.
That's fine. It's Gagneau.
Gagneau.
There you go.
Manuel Gagneau.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Downbeat.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Glasgow. Last time I saw your band, also in Glasgow, with Meshuggah.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
No, it was like 6 months or something.
How was that tour for you guys?
That was good. Yeah. I mean, obviously you get to see Meshuggah every day. That doesn't hurt the deal. Mm. Some of the stages were a little bit too crowded. So we had to like be in one straight line, including the drums to like the right. That was kind of fucked. But other than that, it was good.
Yeah. Did you find like, obviously the ideal, sounds like I know what I'm doing, by the way. I don't, I just want to talk to you. Did you find the ideal situation with a support tour, which people don't really understand? Like, just your average listener of music sometimes doesn't understand the point of a support tour. For the 90% of the time, is to go and steal some of those fans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you find that a Meshuggah tour was good for you?
Yes, very much so. Because Meshuggah have a very like devoted fan base, but they're also kind of open minded. They like weird stuff.
Oh, right.
And I think
you
that's
are
where
weird.
We, yeah, yeah.
Respectfully weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice weird. Have you ever toured with anyone? Which was my next point. Have you ever toured with anyone? I don't want this to be really conversation like interviewee, but like, have you ever toured? Because your music, Zeelanada, is incredibly experimental. I would say within metal, and especially metal that sort of you've flirted with, even if you haven't done it by choice, you've flirted with the mainstream, with, you know, just with how different any of the subject matter is, it comes up in like mainstream publications or whatever. Yeah. Have you ever toured with a band and the fans just haven't got it?
That never completely happened. What did happen is we opened on a festival for... No, actually, we played after... What was it? Like a iconic 80s synth pop band.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Fuck. Oh, shit. I'm supposed to remember this.
Mel, anything? All right. Wait, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Iconic 80s synth pop.
Yeah. So we're in France. Beautiful. We get baguettes and the cheeses.
Lovely.
They come on 10 o'clock. It's like a mid-40s aged crowd. They love it. They lap it up. Then we hit the stage, and it's like
you've got full headline like amount of people.
Like we were the go to bed liner.
Yeah,
and we played like at 12:15, which is just sleepy time for these people. And then we barrage them with like blast beats, and we vacated the premises. And it looked pathetic because like it was 40,000 people and like 1,000 people were still there, but if you have the direct comparison, it looked lamentable.
Yeah,
yeah, that was not great.
What was the festival?
Les Pauses Musicales, something, I don't know.
So like a real diverse lineup.
Yeah, like someone was really proud of their like avant-garde booking
curation.
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are a lot of those festivals in Europe. We never really get to do them because we get sort of just lumped into metal hardcore festivals. Mm-hmm. But Europe has some like almost deranged lineups where someone just goes, you know what? I'm a weird European Mike Patton. Here's my festival.
Yeah. But I mean, more often than not, it's amazing. Like we played the Best Kept Secret in the Netherlands. It was like... James Blake, Radiohead.
Oh my God.
Aurora and Us.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. Also, they have like money at the wazoo to do that. But it ended up being really cool for us. And again, we got to see Radiohead, and that's
neat. What year was this? I'm like, Radiohead's in my top five.
This was like 2018, I want to say.
So Moonshaped Pool kind of.
Yeah, yeah. It was the festival where... The people recorded them tuning their guitars, and they were like, "This is a new song."
Oh yeah. I always used to like joke about stuff like that. I once, my first tour ever, actually, which I was talking about the other day with someone. Also, this podcast, I don't even know, it just goes off on tangents, but
it's good.
My first tour ever, there was a band I used to play in, like just like punk hardcore crusty bands when I was like 16. And I mean, I still technically do, but like really crusty.
Yeah.
We went on tour and a band opened up in Newcastle and they were called, I mean, the name's pretty out there. The band was called AIDS Wrist. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be pretty fucking something at the time. And then the guys are just tuning up on stage. And then one of them just goes into the microphone, thank you. And then he left the stage. And they were like, I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen. That's amazing. It was, I don't know if it was maybe like one of the promoters, like friends bands or like friends that just did it for a joke. But they were the whole time just tuning up, no noise made. And then one of them just went really solemnly, thank you. And then left.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, it was like a fucking sketch.
I'll have to steal that.
Yeah, it's pretty,
that's excellent.
It's a pretty good sketch. Mm-hmm. So, headline tour. That's why you're here. I got notes. I never check my notes, but I'm just going to pull them up. They're on my phone. They're not real.
All right.
Headline tour.
Yeah.
For the self-titled.
Yeah, yeah. One of too many. We did like a bunch of support stuff, then the summer festivals. Yeah. Then we did a headline in the US, which went over well, except for someone almost dying. And now this one. Yeah.
You're going to have to
elaborate that.
Circle back to that.
So someone got really, really sick on tour.
COVID sick.
COVID plus Legionella. Like,
what's that? It sounds like one of your song titles.
Legion's disease. Oh. Like it's a bacterial infection that can go one of two ways. Either you just have like a slight fever and it's basically nothing, or you get like a lung infection.
Holy shit.
That like eats away at the alveola. Like not great. So
from COVID?
Yeah, yeah. It was just this 1-2 punch of these two infections. And God. Yeah. So this person who was ill, and I don't know if I'm free to talk about it because it's, you know, that person, but we didn't really gauge it that badly because he's a strong individual. And we just had a little bit of fever. So we ended up going to the hospital and they're like, this motherfucker has to stay here.
Wow.
And every day we weren't sure if he'd actually make it through because he had like 41 Celsius degrees fever.
What's that in America? Because we got that 35-33% split UK and US.
I have no idea.
So you live in Switzerland still?
Yeah, yeah.
You have the most insanely American English accent. I was like, I just assumed in my head that you'd move to America.
I can go for German if you want.
Actually, one of my notes involves the German language.
Oh, fuck yeah. Anyway, that was freaky, scary. Dear friend of ours almost died. That's that.
Who were the supports in the States?
Is my brain empty?
No.
Oh, no, it was Sylvain and Imperial Triumphant. If you want to go about experimental music, that's an address for you.
Is it tough when you're like, again, this is not even in my notes, but is it tough when you're picking supports in the black metal realm? To research everything.
I mean, it's pretty. By now, I kind of have a thing on the pulse of who's sketchy and you know what doesn't work. Also, I know for a fact that certain bands will not want to engage with us, which is fine. It goes both ways.
You ever got any like real shit from another band?
No, I think if people don't like us for whatever reason, they don't interact with us. Why would they?
Yeah.
And I think in a way we're over the, I hate this band so much, I'm going to post about it publicly thing.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Do you think in the black metal community, I'm like, when I grew up, I love black metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Emperor, Dark Throne, like,
yeah,
like real black metal. Then you sort of find out about all the racism. Yeah. You're like, that kind of sucks. So then nowadays, I mean, I still love black metal, but like, I love all the shit that people, the black metal people hate. Like, I love Walls in the Throne Room. I love Death Heaven.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Like, I love it. And people experimenting or whatever. But like, when you see the vitriol from other bands in the scene, for like anyone that's like, how dare they put a fucking clean guitar in there? But it's like, like what I don't know because I wasn't there is like, did Emperor get that? Because they had like synths. Like, surely there must have been like, why is like that okay?
I think it's like this teenage thing. It's like these boys were listening to this music when they were like 14 to 17, And they heavily still identify with it because it's, you know, their little precious childhood thing. And here come like other bands pissing on it, and, you know, from their perspective. And it's just kind of hurtful for them.
Yeah.
And they're super protective of it and they get really pissy.
It was weird though as well because they'll adore the Burzum albums that have no guitar on it. But it's like
exactly.
The minute you put like a synth or something in other black metal, the elitism is what absolutely kills it for me, which is why I love like...
And it's a hypocrisy too, because like black metal started as this like no holds barred, just fuck it, do whatever you want, extreme.
Yeah.
And now it's like you have to adhere to so many rules.
Yeah. That it's just one of which being you got to be at least slightly racist.
Yeah.
You need a, just like, for the just an element in there.
Yeah.
One of you at a party dressed up is the bare minimum.
Yeah. And you got to have like a Pepe folder on your desktop just
We need to get into the Pepe stuff because like so this podcast is I guess mainstream now number 3 in the UK charts today.
Which is congrats.
Cool. So I forgive me if some of this is just like digging up what your fucking band name is and like that stuff. But the flip side of that is that there will probably be maybe 30,000 people listening or watching that don't know your band. So it's a sell.
Okay.
So
here comes the pitch.
Zielinada.
Yeah.
Started as a one man thing. Like,
precisely.
Like a lot of the cool, like, again, though, I love a load of those one-man black metal bands. They always go and do something, beat their wife up or something. I'm like, for fuck's sake, just make the fucking music.
Yeah, it's sad.
Started as a one-man thing. Now, the story of when you started it, I've heard a million times, but I don't think the listeners would have heard.
Okay.
Would you like to regale us with this story?
I would love to.
Let's go.
Actually, it started...
Bird mask.
Yeah. That was my pop project that I still do, but I got kind of frustrated with it, and like as a distraction, I would go on 4chan.
As a distraction from anything.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, God bless you. 4chan is the cesspool of the internet. 4chan was responsible for a bunch of death threats that I got a while ago. A bunch of our band.
You got doxxed, I heard, right?
Yeah.
That's fairly unfun. Yeah.
But then they didn't do anything. So it was like, motherfucker, you had the easiest assassination in history.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of tiny 300 to 500 capacity rooms that I'm going to be sat down in on the internet. You just, that clean fucking shot. You can get me. No one did it. Anyway, carry on. 4chan is a cesspool.
Yeah, I would go to said cesspool and ask them to like name two musical genres. Like one poster would say reggae and another say gabber. And I would combine those two in like 30 minutes and try to make a song of it.
Just in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And one day one said black music, well, in a different tone. And one person said black metal. And I thought like if I got butthurt about this, it would be like a huge L for me. But if I made it sound good, that's kind of a bigger fuck you. So that's what I ended up doing. And I liked the idea so much because there was also kind of some thematic correlations between the two that I kind of kept at it. And now it's my job.
It's so fucking cool. There's a lot to unpack there. So I'm taking it the way when they said black music, they used 4chan's favorite word.
Yeah. Philanthropy.
Insane. Fuck me. Insane. And then, so had you had any experience like singing in that style? So first off, explain what is happening there. Sorry, I'm a professional. explain the mashup. So specifically, is it a specific...
So they said N-word music,
God, fuck
and I figured like they maybe meant hip hop or whatever, and I just kind of reduced it to what I think of like historically black American music is, and that would be like field hollers and early gospel chants. So that's what I kind of took and combined it with some blasty beats and some tremolo picking.
So at this point, had you ever sung in that style?
And no.
Because you fucking nailed it.
It's so easy to like, because I've been doing this exercise at this point for quite a while. So yeah. I would like simmer down what the pillar elements are of a genre, and I would just use that as a like simulacra and kind of build on it. And since all the recordings that we know of that era, most of them are made by one guy called Alan Lomax. He did like a huge like chronicling of sounds. And his recording stuff sucked because it's super old. So it's really easy to emulate that. And once you got that, you're basically almost there.
Wow. So am I right in thinking everything... Devlin's Fine, did you record all of that?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you mix it? Someone else mixed it?
Yeah,
you
mixed
it.
Yeah.
You mixed it. Yeah, but it's black metal, so it's kind of like... I don't know. Sometimes... Because the new one's Will Putney.
Yeah.
Will Putney mix. And Will Putney is my number one, my fucking boy. Mm-hmm. Number two, like, mixes all of our stuff. Fuck and yeah. I mean, I think the new one's my favorite one. But I think, like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, because I love shitty mixes. Mm-hmm. No offense. But like, I like In the Night Side of Clips. Like, I like just, like, insanity.
Yeah.
But like, I think the Putney mix adds to it.
Oh, definitely
on the new one.
Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I mean, it has its charm to it. Because if it's not mixed well, it has this otherworldliness to it, which can get you so far. And the second one was mixed by Kurt Ballou. Because everything in our realm is either by Kurt Ballou or Will Putney.
Yep.
And now I need like, I don't know.
No, now you need to get, by your own admission, good enough, and then it's all you.
Yes, and it's that's back the, to that, shit.
Yeah, that's the chronicling of it.
It's gonna be my Lulu,
which is what. Fuck me, Jesus Christ! I could talk about that all day. Which is what I wanted to touch on there is like, Devil is Fine. The vocal production is incredible. Like, it's really good.
You know what it is. I mean, it's first of all, it's panning. The second thing is like, you can't sing harmonies like you would. Because you always get, what I did is like, I tried to do different voices. One is like, ha, and one's like, la, a little more Kermit-y. And one's like, ha.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like it.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Anywho, that and the this is so nerdy, and it's not going to interest anyone.
No, it is. It's a music podcast. It's going to interest everyone. Trust me.
So the preset I used for the vocals is like a snare preset.
No way.
It's called Dirty Snare off a.
Well, like an EQ or a compressor?
It's a compressor and like a saturator distorter thing.
Oh,
yeah. So it sounds like it's a wax wheel recording, and it's kind of old.
Man. And you did that in a bedroom or in a studio? But yeah, just you.
Just my bedroom. Yeah,
and that's fucking so cool.
My neighbors must have thought I don't know, like, because you're like singing.
You fucking had slaves, like.
Because you think singing the third harmony to fucking Good God Is a Dead One, and like, they're probably just trying their best to sleep.
And they're like, is there three people in there now? Yeah. Like, if you got the monitors blaring,
yeah,
that's crazy. So. When did you invite? Who did the drums on the first one?
A MIDI.
Yeah, all the best one man black metal. Because I didn't know there's a level to drum production where it's like, there's a sweet spot in the middle where it's like, well, this is neither so good or so bad that I don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
Whereas at the end, there is, okay, this is really, really fake. Mm-hmm. I know it's fake. And at the beginning, there is like, well, this has to be real. And I feel like you're somewhere in the middle of the start and the middle of the whole spectrum that I've just fucking butchered my analogy. But like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like the Leviathan records. Mm-hmm. They're just be normal, bro. the Leviathan records are like, I can't even remember if it's real or fake. Like,
yeah.
Because it's like shitty.
Yeah.
It's, but real.
Yeah. Shitty by choice. I love that. Yeah, it's all MIDI. And because it's so distinctly mixed.
Yeah.
not to say
nice,
shitty.
That's nice.
Right? You can't really tell. And it's not important because it adds to the, wait, is it? Is it not? Is it more than one person? And it adds to that mystique, which I totally ruined by being on fucking podcast.
I was going to say, you ruined it a while ago. Yeah, but was there anything in you that wanted to do it like Death Spell Omega? Like, I want to be secret.
I totally did, yes.
Did you already do it?
Well, I wanted to be as anonymous as possible. And I think first it was Kim Kelly who wrote for Noisy back in the day.
Yeah.
She said, oh, look, this is Manuel Gagne, and he's fucking doing this. I'm like, okay, cat's out of the bag. Next.
Grim Kim doxed you.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
I follow her on Twitter.
She's amazing. Yeah. And then the next week, like the Rolling Stone online thing wrote about it and like, yeah, okay.
Do you regret it or?
No, not at all. Because it would involve so much like cringy, mystique, forced shit. Like I like being straight and I like being, being transparent.
Yeah.
It's not about my sexuality. It's the same with like social media and, you know, being on Twitch and whatever, if you have a persona, you have to maintain that, and that is exhausting as fuck. Mm. So
I kind of do as well. I kind of put on like a little bit of a fake me.
Well, of course. I mean, you're aware that you're being recorded, and you're never going to be the same.
No,
unless you're a fucking sociopath.
Borderline.
We'll get there.
Some of the ego comes out. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
So this is not the thing. So we're still on conception of the band, inception of the band. So then, what did you do for shows back then?
I didn't do shows. I just put it up on Bandcamp.
The dream.
Yeah. And it just kind of worked, and I could pay my bills for like a month, and it was amazing.
Two demos, and then Devil Is Fine.
One demo scrubbed off the internet and you cannot find unless you Google it.
I mean, if you just told everyone to Google it. Why did you scrub it off?
Because it was even worse than the first one.
Sound-wise or just...
All over the board. I mean, there was one good song I like on it. The rest is like... You know how I always have like intermezzos? Like there's like synth shit. There was a lot of that.
Oh, so you did a burzum.
He did a burzum.
So I'm going to ask you this because I don't really go and look at too many other interviews when I do this because I just think it seems fake. Mm. Have you made a trilogy?
No.
So there's more because there's like themes in all three.
Yeah. I mean, there is like an overarching thing.
But, here's how I want to describe it. And I know you'll get it because I have done some research. It's kind of like a Man in the High Castle alternate reality situation.
Yeah.
Like when I delve deep into the lyrics, other than like the really cool fucking Satan shit, which we'll get onto, like... There's a fucking story there.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like it was kind of ending in the new one. I'm not going to check my notes and reference fucking lyrics. But do you have like a plan? Is there a plan for more?
There is, but I mean, it's such in a conceptual phase that I can't really...
Oh, I don't want you to... Yeah, I don't want to elaborate. I just want to know for my own ego, am I right?
Am I right?
It's going somewhere.
So it's like an alternate history thing where African-American slaves, instead of, you know... being Christians like their oppressors wanted them to be, they would actually turn to Satan.
It's the coolest fucking idea for not only a band, but anything I've ever heard.
I'm kind of in the process of making a graphic novel.
I was about to just fucking say, like, you need to do either a comic or a series or something.
Yeah. I just really want Netflix to pick it up and just... give me money for that.
Do you know who would fucking love it?
Hmm?
Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
That's just you two writing a fucking
kissing
banger.
Making out,
making a fucking banger.
Yeah.
Because there is like, he likes that shit. You can tell because he did Lovecraft County, which I loved.
He made Candyman, which was nice.
Candyman. But like, he's got a foot. Yeah, he likes horror, but he's got like a foot in the like creepy fucking occult style shit.
Yeah,
which obviously you also have, and I'm sure. So this is like me just fucking going off on a million tangents at once.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like actual like incantation style stuff from the Lesser Key of Solomon.
Yeah.
Across all of your work.
Fuck yeah, there
right,
is.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the way I look at it, other than, you know, actually being from the Lesser Key of Solomon, is like it has like a Lovecraft vibe in that like it always comes back to like, fuck, there's one specific, I'm going to butcher it. There's like a specific, I think it's like a Crowley Latin that's like, show yourself to us, and I'm going to butcher it. But it's in like, I swear it's on almost every album. It's just put
Bella Tor Halira, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the one.
yeah.
And it's like, and when it comes up, because I love, again, fucking just don't be racist. I love H.P. Lovecraft. yeah. Other than the name of his fucking cat and all the other shit that's in there.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, there's like the old one, the deep one kind of vibes to it.
Yeah, and it comes up, and every time it comes up in a song, I'm like, yeah, he did it again. because it reminds me of like mm-hmm. Cthulhu shit, like the mythos, the
and the inevitability. How we cannot avoid it.
Yeah. Yes,
that was a hard word to say.
No, you got it. You nailed it.
yeah, yeah. Also, there's stuff from the Grimoire of Abraham Elin in there also. So
yeah, there's a lot.
Fun bits.
On the new, yeah, on the, what's the song? Sorry, like literally the worst person in the world with song names, album names.
Oh, me too. People names too.
Feed the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
So Feed the Machine's the song on this record that has
the most
has the chant, mm-hmm. but then you list some Dukes of Hell, you list some Earls of Hell, like
filler, you know, just gotta get them in there.
Is it actually filler, or you like? No, do you have like a? I mean, you obviously have an occult interest because they're real fucking deep cuts.
Yeah,
and I think we both know Daniel P. Carter. Daniel P. Carter is my little like. It's like I love a pentagram. I love shit like that.
Yeah,
and then Daniel P. Carter was like, "Hey, you know about real magic?" And then he sort of like,
"You'll come with the Grant Morrison stuff."
He'll like guide me along shit, and then I've delved into that world,
mm-hmm.
and I think you notice when someone is just using a fucking the cross is upside down, which is cool as like a fuck you to religion or whatever, but like when someone's referencing fucking deep cut actual fucking magic,
yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm. I did like change around stuff. Like there's a song called Ship on Fire where the incantation is like not correct. Cause if I were to do that publicly and people would sing along,
it would actually
not be a good idea.
I fucking love that. That was one of my questions was like, yeah, because I noticed that with some of the other ones, like, cause there is in Goetia, mm-hmm. there is like, they love putting a fucking O-N on the end of something or like changing it. So there's a few in your lyrics that I'm like, has he changed that so it's not actually a spell? Or is that actually a spell that I just haven't heard yet?
No, I did change a couple of things. Just, you never know. You never know once, you know, you're yelling it at 600 people a night and they're yelling with you.
Is there any real ones in there? You got any real ones?
Who knows?
Oh, I love it. Because I fucking, during the pandemic, that's when I got like really into that shit. I got like super into it and like sex magic and shit like that. I got like, I talked about it on Dan's podcast, but not on this podcast. Like, I got fucking spooky. I got real. And then, like, actually, the shit that I manifested all happened. And I was like, oh no.
Oh no. I'm on a podcast now.
Honestly, it was like, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, but like, I've seen movies. Like, this is going to go horrifically wrong.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I like the fact that it's real deal shit in there. Mm-hmm. If you're watching this on YouTube, I am looking at my notes. I got in trouble for the last episode for not looking at my notes. Also, I got in trouble because I pulled my notes up And it was, because these are all in really nice 4K, I pulled my notes up and someone called me out on Twitter. Was like, bro only has two notes. Because like you could see perfectly through to this camera and you could see the, you could see with the notes. Okay, so back to what I'm saying about the trilogy. So Devil Is Fine was about being like from the perception of a slave. In captivity.
Precisely, yeah.
Stranger Fruit. Escaping?
Pretty much, yeah.
But then what's Zealanda? And what is the reasoning for this being the self-title? Because normally people do a... This is why I thought it was a closer. Why I thought this was a trilogy. Because normally people either do... Here's the first record, it's the self-titled. And then record 8, here's a self-titled. Because we found our sound. Let's start with that question.
Okay.
Why is this one a self-titled? Because all the magic's in the lyrics?
No, it's two factors. One is that I think we arrived at the sound or the distillation of what we're trying to have been, you know, working towards on this record. And also didn't have too many great ideas for an album title.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't have said that bit. The first one sounded right.
Oh, did I say the thinking thing?
Yeah, like, no,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah.
But I agree that is the amalgamation of all the other things that you've been doing. Like, I think the synthy stuff, anyone that listens to the podcast knows, like, my favorite band of all time is Nine Inch Nails. Like, you put a synth on anything with just like a fucking, give me just a, with some synth, I'm fucking.
Yeah.
Practicing sex magician to it. Like, that's my fucking shit. So there's always been the synthy interludes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then on this one, they're like refined.
Yeah. It's not just synth. It's like synth that fits into that world.
Yeah.
Maybe someone has been listening to the new Gary Numan record. Who knows? It could be one of 1,000 things.
Like Trent Reznor did to all the early
Nine
Inch Nails. Gary Numan, I'll just do that. Do that, but more goth.
Mm-hmm. More eyeliner.
Give me the eyeliner. But it feels like, it's such a shitty press question. I don't even want to say it. Not a press statement, so I don't even want to say it. Just like the heavier bits are heavier. And yeah, so I'm going to fucking scrap that.
Yeah, that's also, it's a lot of to do with Will Putney's fantastic mixing.
Did he have any input on, did he tell you to change anything?
No. What he did do is, we recorded it in our studio and he just like via Skype looked at our mic setup and said, hey, put one there or that one should be.
Can you do me a favor?
Okay.
Can you do a Will Putney impression for me?
Cause
I'm going to do it and you're going to go, okay, that's it.
Fuck. No, I'm not good at it.
Can you do me a favor and
oh shit.
And Will hates it because everyone that's ever come on that's recorded with Will, I'm like doing a Will Putney impression. But I love him to fucking death. So you engineered it or you got someone else to engineer it?
Mark, our beautiful, beautiful singer, he has a studio in his place.
In Switzerland?
Yeah.
Cool.
And we engineered it together. He did. I just sat there, drank a lot of coffee.
Nicely. But you've got the like...
I was integral though.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
musically as well. Before I forget, because it's a question that I really wanted to ask. So with it being like the alternative storyline of what if the black slaves had turned to Satan instead of Christianity, which even saying out loud is fucking insane. Have you ever had any kickback from like the black Christian community?
No.
Or do they just not, does it not even come up on the radar?
I think there were like two YouTube comments that said like, miss me with that Satan shit.
Grow up.
Yeah, but I think like Satanism in music is like such an old, not, it's not going to phase anyone, you know?
Yeah, but you are doing like, do you think if they knew the level, do most people not know that like the level of your lyrics are like, this doesn't get more Satan.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't tell, which I think is beautiful because like you said, we're flirting with the mainstream and we actually have like legitimately bad juju on the airwaves.
Yeah.
On fucking BBC One. What? I'm a happy camper.
You know? That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck. Please put some actual spells in there. That's fucking cool as fuck. Because I can't really, I mean, my ear is not that much on like the underground. I'm sure there are some pretty fucking magical bands. But other than like Watain, Behemoth, you guys, I can't really think of that many who
there's some big pop groups who wouldn't be too happy if I said they were. But yeah, there's some evil stuff going on.
Because I first got into that stuff, other than Daniel Picard holding my hand for it and being like, this is the book you need to buy, blah, 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 blah. Tool back in the day when I was a kid. And then I was like, what's Danny Carey's drum kit sat on? And then it's like, oh, it's the Lesser Key of Solomon. I'm like, I wonder what that is. And I read it, I'm like, this is the coolest thing in the fucking world.
It's fun.
And now my podcast has a big pentagram. There's a bunch of fucking shit everywhere.
I love it. What is, it's Bones, because I am so confused by the neon thing.
What do you mean Bones? And you know what it is? I'm glad you said it's Bones, because I'm a drummer. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It is drumsticks, but I want some people are like, oh, it's just like a Wiccan sticks or whatever, and I'm like, cool, please think that, because sometimes, particularly press agents, are like, I'll ask for X person from a band because I know we have a common interest in something, or we're going to have a cool chat or whatever, and they go, are you sure you don't want the drummer, considering it's a drum podcast? And I want to fucking explode. Because of you see the drumsticks, and I'm a drummer, and obviously I know a lot of drummers, so there's probably, I would say, 60-40 to non-drummers and drummers by this point, but everyone's like, oh, it's a drum podcast. So I'll take Bones.
Bones? Okay. Because it looks like needles, it could be anything.
God, I'll take Bones or needles.
Right. Here, definitely Bones.
We're going with Bones. It's a bone pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. Mm-hmm. Where was I on this? I'm not going to edit it, because I just don't. I don't Excellent. Have an editor.
It'll be great for the audio-only part.
I'll just leave it in there. Yeah. I'll just fucking put an ad here.
Whoever doesn't have a screen in front of them right now, fuck you.
All right, 100%. I've spent a lot of money on making this look. Look how good we look. Let's just spend a minute to look how good we look.
God damn, is that a lookup table in my face?
It's glorious.
Love it.
It's absolutely glorious. Let me get back to my notes, because I will have forgotten everything. Okay. The Germanic language.
Yeah.
A lot of German lyrics, particularly on this album.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? One song called Götterdämmerung is very German.
I'm glad you said it, because that's the one I'm going into.
Yeah.
Very German.
Yeah, it's just very angry-sounding language, and it works well with harder music. So I was writing that song, and for some reason I thought, like, no, this people won't like this. So in like a week time, I totally forgot the existence of Rammstein. So I didn't, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was so in my little process. My little process. Nice. I gone forgot it.
Nice accent.
But I fucking love it.
Wow, that's good.
Thank you.
That's fucking good.
Been watching some trash TV.
Nice.
Yeah,
we do it well. Mm-hmm. We do it fucking well. Okay, so what does that word mean?
Götterdämmerung is Twilight of the Gods. It's
nice.
It's the final act in Wagner's opera.
Oh, he's
also a great guy. Yeah.
He's like the OG racist black metal guy. But
I'm like, Richard and I hate everyone.
Forgive, I have a degree in music, but forgive my fucking Netflix. Forgive my forgetting. Was he bad, or did Hitler just love him?
Well, he was bad himself too. He was himself also an anti-Semite, but I don't think to the degree that people assume he is. However, Hitler did use his music very prominently in the films, the propaganda films, with Leni Riefenstahl and everything.
Sort of like the OG Varg.
Wagner. Oh my God. there's a meme.
There we go. Yeah. And he might watch this and we'll be in trouble.
Oh no.
So, yeah.
The tools.
Just somebody, just come. No, don't come to my house. I don't want you here. right. What made you choose that? I assume there's some cleverness there.
I just wanted to reappropriate that dope ass word.
And musically, because it's like, it's kind of sick. Like, Wagner's like, almost. I don't know if it's to do with. It's hard to differentiate? Is it to do with the background behind it, or is it like the chord progressions and stuff? Could you call it a chord progression, even if it's fucking like the melody is like kind of evil?
Yeah, he didn't. He never resolved into just a major chord just for gets and jiggles. He has this whole thing with the tryst in a chord where he just kind of flirts with the resolution of a chord for the entirety of a opera, which is like, by the way, he was the guy who said like, yeah, operas need to be 5 to 7 hours long. Nice. And in the final act, he resolves it. That's just dope.
So did he create that?
Yeah. No, his music is indisputably good, I think.
H.P. Lovecraft. I just sat there reading my H.P. Lovecraft, listening to Wagner, like, this is fine. This is fine. Well, that's cool. Like, the stuff resolving later in a record is my favorite fucking shit ever. And one of my favorite bands ever, Cult of Luna. And Johannes has been on the podcast, but, like, they're other than, you know, debatable ethics of Wagner, they're like the post-metal equivalent in that there'll be an intro and then 90 minutes later that intro comes back like a little bit later on. I absolutely love that.
Yeah
It's like a little warm music hug. Like, I know this bit. It's back.
We made a sandwich together.
So did what are the German lyrics in that song? I can't even say it.
Götter Demo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, part of it is just what to do when performing a ritual, and another part is a quote or a modified quote from Goethe.
Yeah.
From the Zauberlehrling, just a ballad of his. And he himself was also very into the occult, so just thought it fitting.
How did you get started in investigating the occult?
I don't know. Being left alone at the library helped. And we have weird libraries in Switzerland. And
Were you like into metal beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that is. As much as we want to say, like, it doesn't make you evil. Fuck, it makes you evil. What are these guys singing about? Oh, let me read that. Oh, that's fucking cool. I mean, it's not evil. I use evil as like...
classically seen evil. Yeah. Yeah.
Because so are you a practitioner? Are you like do you? I guess
for the sake of this podcast, no.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So there's no you've got you wouldn't say you have a religion. You're not like a Thelema. Yeah, like a
no. Thelema. I wouldn't say that. It's a wiggly, loosey goosey.
Yeah, same. Magician. Yeah. I'm more of like a just like I like this bit. I like this bit. There's like a massive misconception. And a massive, like, difference between, like, LaVey Satanism, Crowley Satanism, and then the whole weird area in between.
Yeah.
But one thing that we can agree on is that it is cool to piss people off.
It is.
By just using, like, imagery from that. The amount of shit I get for that is crazy.
Really?
Do you not get shit in America? I guess.
Oh, my God, it's drumsticks.
He got it. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, I still get shit. I find it interesting because I sell quite a lot. It started as a podcast and then it sort of became a brand and now it's like a brand that has a podcast. So as much as the word brand is gross, but like I have people who listen to the podcast from like Alabama and places like that. And they're like, can you please make some clothing without anything satanic on it because I can't wear it out. And I'm like, that's kind of cool that still exists. It's fucked, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Still edgy.
That's going to be on my tombstone, actually.
Still edgy.
Still edgy. It's going to be a skateboard on top.
Like. Do you think if you got bigger, you'd get more shit? I feel like I feel like you should be getting some shit, to be honest.
Well, I feel... First of all, no. No, I think maybe, but I also think it's not that edgy to be Satanist.
Because I don't understand you're doing real shit.
If you look at any like dark, you know, drill or trap album, there's all these Satanist symbols just put in there like spices, basically.
Yeah, like, remember, yours aren't spices. I see it.
Yeah,
I see the realism. I'm gonna out you as a real Satanist.
It's gonna be a fucking think piece.
It'll be
the New Yorker. I can't wait.
Such
for
good press. Such good press. You'll be fucking be banned. It's been a while since someone's been banned purely for Satan. Although you're not getting any shit in Poland.
No.
I guess Behemoth only get it because they are Polish, but like their blasphemy laws are insanely backwards.
I know. And I think it's gotten worse, but we'll see. We'll be there in a couple of weeks. Maybe this is the last time you've seen me.
Oh, no, that would be sad. Yeah. But also, respectfully, kind of cool.
Yeah, martyrs. Hey.
I feel the same way about, like, because obviously I've got fucking loads of tattoos. I've like everything that's quote unquote supposed to be edgy, and it's like now just not the softest fucking person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I go to Japan, I'm not allowed in gyms. I'm not allowed in bathing pools, pools, and I'm like, kind of awesome. That's how I feel about when I hear about someone being annoyed about Satanism. I'm like, oh, yes,
yeah, yeah.
Still got some edge there.
That's good. I mean, I think that's refreshing to hear because we've kind of, you know, grew so accustomed to, tattoos and Satanism that it doesn't faze us, but it still means something. God,
I think we need to step it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Watain step it up quite a lot in the live shows. Are they still post-COVID? Does anyone know now? Do you know? Are they still allowed to, like, chuck
blood,
pig blood on people? Still doing that?
They still
do it. Confirmed.
Nice.
And even they're not getting... I want to be like, I want to be cancelled, mm-hmm. but like...
For cool reasons?
For cool shit only. Yeah. None of this like... Like
he did like a fucking sick kick flip over like Thatcher's grave, that sort of that...
That's thing. A cool like, yeah. Or maybe even like...
What are you doing later?
An incantation at mm-hmm. Thatcher's grave, mm-hmm. seance vibe.
Yeah.
We could maybe, involve like... Or like someone, we do a poll on the Patreon, like... Who actually deserves to die?
Yeah.
And then it's like, by that point, it's just manslaughter, and then I'll just go do it.
But, sacrifice. I mean, if you say, okay, we're going to do a poll, who deserves to die, but we'll do it by incantation, is that a death threat? Because obviously it's not real. Or is it just the intent of murder that... is already incriminating. I think we should get a lawyer on board who's also heavily into murder.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Do you know what? Funny enough, lawyers that are into murder, no, but lawyers that are into metal, I got that copyrighted because someone had just started putting on t-shirts. And another drummer, actually.
Motherfucker really, in Alabama.
Really annoying. No. Yeah, just put it the right way up. It's like, this one's nice. White magic. And the lawyer that I used was like, oh, I'm so into the bands like Creator and stuff like that. It was actually, I think it was a Swiss lawyer. And he was like, that was my Swiss accent. He was like so stoked on it. He was like, I have never got to do something like register a mark that's been to do with like Satan and metal in so long. And he was like super fucking stoked. Didn't give me a discount, but he was super stoked.
No, he's still lying.
They are in there. They're in. We are... infiltrating the levels of the law.
Next, kindergartens.
They're in there.
Okay.
Right, back to my notes. Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having a great time, actually.
I want to just quickly say that you stream on Twitch. What do you do on Twitch? Because I love Twitch. I wish they'd give me some more money, hint. That's why this could have been streamed live on Twitch, but they're not giving me any money. That's enough of my plug for I want money from Twitch.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're on there? How often do you stream?
I just complain about how you don't get enough money. Because I want to give you my platform.
Thank you.
What I do is like the same thing I did on 4chan. I just take like music suggestions and try to make songs of it.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't stream regularly.
Why
I'm
not?
On tour.
But so when you're at home, you do?
Yeah.
How not regular is not regularly?
Like once or twice a week.
That's pretty regular.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm gone for half of the year, so.
What? What's your new username on Twitch? We've got a lot of
it's
Twitch
Zealand Ardor, baby.
Zealand Ardor, so it's Raw Dog from the band account.
Oh.
That's fucking cool. And then you just go in.
Talk shit.
Do people have to, so here's just a biz question.
Here we go.
Do people have to, do you paywall the suggestions? This is my issue with Twitter, with Twitch, is like the capitalism involved is necessary, but I hate every single facet of it.
Yeah. There's no, you can suggest things for free. And it's just in chat, and I'll just,
and you'll just pick up on the ones that you think.
There's also no ads.
Yeah, cool. That's what
yet.
I do. Nah, still keep the no ads. I found what I found. In fact, this episode at the very start, I will have done an ad,
and it was a great one too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But like, I think there's a lot to be said, especially on a platform that's owned by fucking Jeff. There's a lot to be said about people sticking. That's why I asked you the question about the paywall. Like sticking to their ethics, even in a non-ethical, like, cosmos.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, there's something to be said about, you could quite easily paywall, like, drop 5 subs and you can suggest a thing. But then there's 2 problems with that. Because I don't do the drum, you know, like, drop 5 subs and I'll play whatever fucking song you want. Because it's like, if I don't want to play the song, that A, takes the intention away from whatever I'm playing, because I don't want to know. You become a jukebox, then you become, you're just as bad as the fucking machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes the fun out of it, makes it working. So I'm all for, it's the same thing, like seamless plug. The Patreon for the podcast is £1, and you can't pay any more than £1.
Can you do that?
I don't want any. I mean, I don't know. Everyone pays £1. Some people have tried to pay more, and then I just message them and say, "Just make it £1."
Okay.
Because it's just everyone still gets the same thing, but the like the
I love the egalitarianism on it.
Yeah, and the people who can't, if you can afford £1. If you can afford the internet, you can probably afford £1, not to like completely just disregard anyone's cost of living crisis or anything. But so I don't feel bad charging for it. If I'm slightly less active for a month because I'm on tour or anything like that, then I again don't feel that bad for it.
That's actually a good way of thinking about it, I think, because I would have this huge sense of responsibility, or like that I owe someone something if I did like a subscription based thing, but that kind of negates a lot of that. But I have an extremely hard time asking people for money just to begin with, and I just do this shit for fun. I can go on tour with my friends, yell at strangers professionally,
yell magic
at
strangers,
and that's my job. And I think to have the gall to go home and say I'm gonna ask strangers for more money just kind of doesn't sit right with me yet.
So it didn't sit right with me. So then I just made it as cheap as possible. So now it kind of sits right with me. I'm like, it's £1. And then the Twitch ding. Twitch is a different thing. Do you play games? Are you a gamer?
Yeah.
See, I'm not, and I wish I fucking was. Used to be when I was a kid. Then I like didn't. I like got when I got into music, I stopped playing or whatever.
The thing is, I'm not good at it, because if you want to like do that on Twitch, you have to be like great
and talk while
I'm lacking a further half of a brain for that. This is smooth.
It's all music
It's all music and like obscure comic references.
What kind of games do you play when you play games?
I'll just hentai shit. No, it's
see, now I can get into that. You want to give me some fucking
they're just like weird indie games. Disco Elysium is one of my favorites. They kind of are in the scandal right now because apparently there was like really bad misogyny in their studio, which
happens everywhere.
It was the one studio that was like, sure, like they're fucking cool. They wouldn't do this shit, but still. Ah. Anywho, yeah. Love games.
I feel like that's the same as everything on earth.
It's just, at this point, it's just exhausting. Like, why the fuck are you boring me with the same stupid, unnecessary shit again?
It feels like
cool.
I feel like it's exactly same with black metal. I feel like it is like it's a big clearing house, like what's happening right now in the entire world with everyone getting called out for everything, instead of being like the fucking commentators are just like, it's gone too far. I'm looking at it as like, this is just clearing house. Like everyone is finally realizing you can't do this shit, and unfortunately it will be the next generation that probably reaps the rewards of it.
Yeah. But which is fine.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
We can. Got any kids?
No.
No, me neither. No. So whenever I have someone on here who's got a kid, They have this whole different worldview, and I'm like, oh, wish I had your worldview, but I don't, because my life is finite in this realm, at least.
I feel like, oh, this is going to be nihilistic as fuck.
But join me. That's me.
I feel like once you have a kid, you kind of...
become a pussy.
Precisely.
I said it. So you didn't have to say it.
No, you kind of offset your priorities and your ambitions to your kid.
Yeah.
This is obviously not for everyone, but it feels like some people, when they have a kid, it's like, it's fine if I don't give my all, because I'm giving my all for this kid to give their all. So I don't have to do anything.
Couldn't great. Be me. Next. Next. Right. I'm conscious of time because the end of the... let's have a look. What else have I got on my fucking notes? Nothing that we haven't actually just fucking...
You know why? Because we're great at this.
Yeah, I think you are great at this. I don't really know what I'm doing. I just own cameras.
And
a bone pentagram.
Yeah. The fucking trademark to that.
Okay, so we're going to get to the best part of the podcast, which you might not even be briefed on, which I prefer that you're not briefed on.
I'm not.
And it's usually bang on an hour in that we do it, which is fine, because by this point, anyone that doesn't know your band has decided if they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they will have all decided to like you and go check out the band. So we're done. Work is done.
Fuck.
Work is over.
Okay.
Now we do the fun bit, even though that was all fun to me.
To me too.
So what we do these days on the podcast, unless there's two guests, a lot of people complained on the last episode, why didn't you do the end segment? And it was because when there's two guests, there's too much conversation between these two people, and I have an ego, so I need to be involved.
Obviously.
So what we do, and don't cut in with anything until I give you all of the rules. This is the Downbeat Dungeons and Dragons, essentially, right?
Fuck yes.
And what it is we curate a dream festival, like what we talked about earlier. But it's every element of it is absolutely a dream. So it can be wild. We're going to go... The only rule is that Zeal and Ardor are playing. So you've got to think in your consciousness.
That already sucks.
No, exactly. Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
Now I have to work.
Exactly. Yeah. So that actually changes some of the questions that I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that we're going to ask, and I'll give you some examples as we start each section.
Yeah.
Is where is the festival located? Now, before you say anything at all, that could just be as simple as a country. It could be as simple as this festival, because I absolutely love this festival. It could be we've had in an underground bunker. We've had at a swimming pool. Like, so we'll start with country.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to elaborate from there, I'll guide you on this. I'm the dungeon master.
Since I'm playing.
You are playing. See why I've done that?
Yeah. Not good. Not bad. It's going to be in France, because that means the catering will be fantastic. And I'm thinking of myself here. Love cheese, love bread.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Southern France, because it will also smell of lavender and rosemary just by default.
Nice.
And whoever does not like that.
Have you got a specific area?
No. No.
Just south of France, weather's going to be nice. What time of year? Depending on the year.
Late summer, not too hot.
Oh, glorious. Still.
Yeah.
And then are we outdoor festival?
Oh, we're definitely outdoor. It's going to be sunny, because I can obviously demand that.
Yeah, you can. It's a dream festival. And you said, to touch back on lavender.
Yes.
Would you like lavender fields?
Look, so this is, it's a huge,
he's
huge
in,
area.
He's in. Yeah. When I get, I see get it, I see it, when it goes in their head, and I'm like, okay, he's in.
Yeah. So there's obviously going to be multiple stages. I think we're just two. It's cool. Like a tastemaker. Like there's also going to be like wine involved.
It's bougie.
It's bougie, but it'll get trashy later, because there's going to be like amazing like dance acts.
Oh, nice.
Here, Rosemary Field. Here, Lavender Field, the ocean isn't far. So you'll get like some sea fresh air,
glorious.
Lavender, rosemary.
Nice. So
we're going
for two, that's a great accent.
Thank you.
We're going for two, are we going to go Hellfest style, two main stages next to each other?
Well, let's do two main stages and like one tent for when things get really raunchy later on.
That's good, because I need to go into the element of the tent. So you've touched on this already.
Mm-hmm.
What's catering?
Yeah.
So, because this is actually a question on the podcast. What is catering?
Okay. So
it's cheese. You've mentioned cheese and bread, but that can't be the whole dinner.
Charcuterie out the wazoo all day.
Yeah, just everywhere.
Yeah.
Chilled, because some of these hot festivals, I don't want to see a fly. I'm going to be there, obviously, because I'm helping, but I want to see a fucking fly.
No. This ain't your granddad's catering. these are professionals.
These are professionals.
And I'm talking like I'm going to insist that they wear the silly hats.
Oh, yeah. We're in France. Well, the Ratatouille style hat.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, I'm so down.
We're all in. And
where's catering? Is it a separate building? Is it a tent?
It's actually a building because it's also air conditioned.
Better. Oh, now we're talking.
You know? Yeah. And there'll be like a pig on a spit.
Ooh.
And just like every lavish, like, and I'm talking with the apple in the face. And
the
stuff.
Real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of also a little bit like Satan. Just a little bit like
is that might be?
Apple. Yeah. Ideally, like the pig is almost like indistinguishable from a pig, but you can see a mouth and you can see
is that a human mouth?
Is that a human?
Do I want to kiss this thing?
I mean, it's a dream festival. Yeah. You could, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you could have
human meat.
You could have human meat.
No.
I was hoping so. If you'd have said yes, it was going to be Instagram reel. I think,
how about this? Everyone will get a plate of food. 1 in 100 will be human meat. And you can't tell.
Who's the human?
Who's the cannibal now? We just don't know.
Who's the human? Oh, and everyone's like at their own tables like, I think it's me.
There's
someone like really quietly like, yeah, the food was fine. And they're like, they've completely wiped their plate and gone back for seconds. The nose starts bleeding. The food was fine. Yeah,
it's fine. It's okay.
Okay,
I'm just hungry. Yeah.
So what do you, you know, Mel, not to name drop you again, still vegan?
Oh, there'll be vegan options.
Give me an option. You can't just, otherwise it's going to be cereal.
No. There's a Chikofte. There's also like an Indian station. And there's also, I want to say Ethiopian.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Real nice. See, that's...
Mel will be happy.
Mel's happy. I mean, that's like... Right, now we're in it. That's a professional capacity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... The big one. Mm-hmm. Who is the headliner of the festival?
This is hard.
This would normally be your favorite band of all time, but sometimes people have had like a big band they just want to see.
I think Arca would fucking rip.
So you're not going like... You're not going huge, huge festival headliner?
I think if we can have like huge bands, but just fuck everyone over and like, yeah, it's Arca headlining. Get fucked, Muse. That would be nice.
Do you want a Muse support?
I just actually don't. I think Muse are busy, you know?
Yeah, they're busy.
Yeah,
they're busy.
Yeah.
So give me the band underneath the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
So slightly smaller band that you also want to see. This is why I'm just like, where do we go?
You know what? I think that's a comfy spot for me to play.
Okay.
Because it's not too late. I don't put myself like in smack dab in the middle of things, but I still get like get an audience, you know?
See, this is just like, I'm like, this festival sounds too realistic now. This is supposed to be a dream.
Oh, you think this is a game?
It's exactly a game. We've had, what do we have? Someone, Andrew Hurley from Fall Out Boy had, Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
And ODB hadn't died.
Oh, wait. How about... Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then he also had Freddie Mercury. Queen were playing. Freddie Mercury was a hologram. Like...
That's tasteful.
Really,
Love that. Yeah.
What were you about to say?
Okay. So, stage one.
Thank you.
It's like early afternoon. Like, no, it's 4:00.
Yeah.
Death Grips, come on.
Okay.
People are losing their shit. Yep. Fuck. Okay. Like they're bringing up the big guns early. I wonder who's next. Lights go on stage two. It's Death Grips again.
Wow. Yeah, that's nice. Is there any kind of like, not to again put stuff in your festival, in your festival like world, put words in your festival mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So how about some sort of magic trick? This is what I'd like to see from this. So Like, yeah. Did you ever see the video of, I don't know your opinion on this band, but I'd love to see you on tour with this band because I love them. You ever see the video of when Ghost changed Papa Emeritus the first time?
Yeah.
He played a whole set somehow, and then the one that he turned into, like a changing of the popes, came out and sang the rest of the set, and it appeared to be the same guy.
Yeah.
What if Death Grips did that? They finished.
Oh, shit.
And then the lights are on, and then it's Death Grips again.
Yeah.
And you can't tell who was real.
Yeah. Fuck. Who's the real Zach Hill right now?
You can't tell which is a hologram. Like, not to put in, is your festival.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
That ghost thing was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I didn't see it in real life. Yeah. But I saw a video. I was like,
but that rips.
That even means the whole set. Well, more likely, the whole set was actually Tobias, and then he probably went backstage and sang while the other guy pretended to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
More of that shit. You ever think about doing any like super elaborate shit? Light show is really good.
Yeah, that's Rigu Bloom. Shout out to him. We don't have the budget, but I mean, that's the thing. Like, touring is expensive, and especially in this climate, even though we're selling tickets and people are coming to the shows, it's
that next level to spend money on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. But you know what happens after Death Grips?
Thank you. He's back.
Okay. We're through with the Grips.
Yeah. And both Grips. Yeah. Are they 2 45-minute sets?
Death's Grips is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Death Grips is.
90 minutes of Death Grips. It's fucking Björk. Finally something different.
Love it.
Yeah.
I saw Björk. Mm-hmm. And the only time, in fact, I was going to mention it earlier, the only time I've ever played a mixed festival of like crazy everything fucking everywhere, I played Festival, which is in Isle of Wight, and it was The Cure, Björk, and someone else on the 3 days, and we played on Björk's day. Fuck, and it was nice. When her album came out that had the song, a lot of the songs just had like fucking 12 hand pans, you know, the one I can't remember, it was like 2011, and she came out and she played the whole album back to front, the whole brand new album that wasn't even out yet. And then she just goes into the microphone. It's my Bjork impression.
Please, let's fucking go.
My manager said I shouldn't have done that. But fuck him. And I was like, that is the hardest fucking shit I've ever seen. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, that lady rules so hard.
Okay, so she's on. Okay. So now your lineup is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good, it's
and
good.
And it's like, at this point, it's like six or seven-ish.
When did you hit the stage?
Right after Death Grips.
You know what that means? Björk was on.
They're back, baby.
Wait, okay.
It's their third set of the
day. So
they are pissed at me.
Death Grips, Death Grips.
Björk.
Björk.
Death Grips.
Death Grips.
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Anything special? Like, you can go out on production here. It's your dream festival. You got anything crazy happening on production?
Pyro, but on the wrong stage. But
see, now you're fucking on board. Will Putney's one of these. It was Nine Inch Nails and Metallica.
Yeah.
And they're back-to-back stages. But they did one song each. So you could watch Trent Reznor being fucking annoyed by Metallica playing. But Metallica were playing And Justice for All in full.
Mm-hmm.
With the bass turned up, but with the St. Anger snare. And then they did, and it was back to back, Nine Inch Nails Metallica, Metallica. So you've got
beautiful.
The Zeelanada Pyro is actually happening on the other stage.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else playing on the other stage while your pyro is going off?
To take a wild guess who's on that stage.
Hit me.
It's fucking Death Grips.
Death Grips number four.
No, they're not playing this time.
They're just standing.
They're doing a real bad job at like lip syncing.
To your songs?
Yeah. Okay. But they have all the pyro.
And so, they have the pyro.
Yeah, that's in their favor. So,
are they getting paid for three sets, four sets?
That's not my problem at this point. I think we're in so deep.
I think we could make this happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think that kind of concludes the concert part of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a fucking long ass set too.
Okay.
Death Grips are doing encores without us playing.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay. So, which leads me to the next part of the festival. What's the after party?
It's actually in the tent. There's two segments. One is for the public and one's for the cool backstage people. It's the same DJ, but, you know, just...
Listen. Yeah. It's a dream festival. You've got Death Grips playing 3.5 sets. Yeah. You've got, right, okay, I'm going to give you some other examples. Mm-hmm. The band Malevolence, Josh and Wilkie from Malevolence, they said everyone from the show gets on a cruise ship. It travels to a small island where there's a studio set up and mm-hmm. everyone that's in the bands can jam and record stuff.
Will Putney said,
yeah, exactly. I was like, fuck you. Or you enjoy that shit? I make music once every 2 years and don't make me do it again.
Yeah.
Then Will Putney was like, everyone in his band goes to Japan after the show. And it's like, you're just having an after party, just a tent.
Listen, at that point, I don't want to get into a fucking plane and deal with customs.
So what do you want? Your dream post-show. Doesn't have to be a party. After party is like...
It is a party.
So your dream post-show is a party.
Yeah. We're fed, we're slightly drunk, willing to drink more, and experiment with entactogens.
What?
And Little Texas...
Nice.
Play some ugly hardcore.
Okay.
And I drink so much until I enjoy it.
What are you drinking?
I'm a simple boy. I drink lager that tastes close to water.
I quite like one of those. Like, I like a fucking Bud Light.
Yeah.
I like a Coors Light. I like a dog shit 3.5% beer.
And if you're in the US and someone says, like, there's this microbrewery, it's amazing. Like, it smells like a stale foot in bread. And I don't get the...
See, I also like those.
Yeah.
The IPA world. But my issue with them is I've realized recently I'm allergic to them.
Oh.
Like an IPA. Every time I drink one, my fucking sinuses go crazy. My sinuses go crazy. The simplest thing. Mm-hmm. But that's why I like switch to like the shittier the beer in terms of like ABV. What's in this? Water, rice, hops. Hop extract, not even hops, just a fucking, the closest thing to like a digital beer. And then I'm like, okay, I can drink that.
Yeah.
You're just drinking beer the whole night. There's no like, you ain't got a cocktail, favorite little cocktail?
I don't know. Like I do poorly with liquor. I do great with beer. I'm a happy drunk, but I get like sleepy and like headachy with anything else. So I will drink Buckfast tonight though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey. Maybe I'll drink some Buckfast with you tonight.
Fuck. Yes.
How about that?
That's a great idea.
I love a bit of Buckfast. Mm-hmm. tour manager Mel shaking there. I'm not having anything to do with this.
She's furious.
By this point, I think we're done. What have you got coming up after this tour? Let's plug something. Zielinarder, the album, Zielinarder.
Zielinarder, the album, Zielinarder from the artist Zielinarder.
From the artist. And there's a track.
And there's a track.
You did it. You fucking did it. The Trinity.
Hat trick.
God's Hate did it as well. Mm-hmm. The song Zielinarder by the band Zielinarder and the album Zielinarder.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
By Death Grips.
Okay. What have you got coming up after this?
Well, we got to survive this tour. After that, I think I am scoring a theater, then a movie.
I can't roll back.
I score shit. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What's the only goddamn business?
No. I should have fucking researched that more.
No, you couldn't have known.
What do you score?
This is just like a theater in Zurich, a theater piece. Then after that, it's a movie I'm not at liberty to talk about yet.
That's fucking cool.
It's fun.
Good for you.
Yeah. And then I'm going to write music and see if that's enough for an album.
A new album. When you do your scoring, is it all on computer?
Yep.
What... I want to see, now it's getting nerdy.
Yeah.
But we've done, if they're here by this point, they're the nerds.
Yeah, sorry guys.
So I want to know specifically, because I used to make like electronic music. What DAW are you using?
I'm using Logic and a little bit of Ableton.
Nice. Logic, yeah. Logic for MIDI, Ableton for...
For whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then, so are you scoring, have you got like a traditional like... Do you bring the Zielinarder vibe into the scores is what I'm asking? Or are you doing like, this is for a violin, this is for this, this is
exactly
for this.
Yeah.
And then do you then print it out? How does that even work? I don't know.
No, so I can get away with just the MIDI sounds because I have a decent library that sounds okay.
What library? Come on, the nerds are still here.
It's just Spitfire Audio. Anything they do is just the best.
Are you affiliated?
I wish I fucking was.
There we go. I did that for you. Hey. I did that for you.
Guys.
That's Spitfire Audio.
Spitfire Audio.
There we go. Oh, wow.
For all of your audio needs.
You ever done that? I'm going to send that to them.
All the baby say. You're
That's like a little, that sounded like something from like fucking Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry.
Like some little like fucking goblin.
Oh, you know this. Daniel P. Carter. He always sounds like when he talks on the radio.
Oh, I have an impression. Carry on.
It's always as if someone's like.
Yes.
Like bringing away the mic.
I do it on here all the time. I do it all the time. We will do it. I don't want it. That's literally it. I'm going to get it. He will hate me because I do this all the time.
I love him to bits. That's. I always wondered how that came to be.
Here we go. No, we've got to get the right song up. We've got to get the right song up. This is dead air, but it's fine. Daniel P. Carter. Radio 1. Coming up. Zealandada. Live from Maida Vale.
I fucking love it.
Love him. Love him to death. He's very, very specific sound. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone hasn't heard, Daniel Picard's got a lovely podcast called Someone Who Isn't Me.
Yeah.
Someone who is, I just call it Swim, and I want it.
Yeah.
Every time I search for Swim, it's his fucking fault for having such a fucking. Oh, you've got two names. Well, guess what? I can only find one of them.
Mm.
You've been on it before?
Yeah.
He's had loads of cool people. Talks way more about the magical shit than me, so get involved with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I asked you about your theatre stuff, didn't I?
Yeah.
You get away with a MIDI?
Yeah. Like, rare occasions I'll get, like, a violinist or, like, a chamber orchestra to do stuff.
I want to know this for my own benefit. Do you get that... Glasgow. Someone's been stabbed. Do you have to print out the notation for them or make it for
them?
These
people come with iPads normally. But
You just give them the music and then they'll figure it out?
Sometimes I have a friend who studied jazz and is better at notation than me. I can get by, I can do it. It just takes me a day per page, so.
Yeah,
yeah.
So get someone else to do it. Respect.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming. I hope we get to do this again.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight, if I can please come.
Mm.
Okay, well, I'll meet you out the back for breakfast.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Nice one.